I'm Michelle Martin, and this is Tell Me More from NPR News. Coming up, Raul Madon tells us what's playing in his ear. But first, we want to talk more about Black women and success. Earlier in the program, we told you about the passing of civil rights leader Dorothy Height. It wasn't the only thing she cared about, but it certainly gave Dorothy Height no small pleasure to note that some of today's most visible American women are African American. A new milestone was reached last year when Xerox Corporation named Ursula Burns its CEO, making her the first African American woman to lead a Fortune 500 company. Still, many women of color believe they are bumping up against a glass ceiling in their careers, both on the basis of race and gender. Now there's a new guide for breaking through. It's called The Little Black Book of Success, Laws of Leadership for Black Women. And we're joined now by two of its three authors, Elaine Merrill Brown. She's the former vice president of Special Markets and the Cinemax Group at HBO. She's also an Emmy Award-winning writer and producer. And Rhonda Joy McLean is the deputy general counsel of Time, Inc. They're both with us now. Welcome, ladies. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks for having us.
Yes.
Now, Elaine, let me start with you, because you wrote about how this book kind of arose from your own personal girl group.
Yes. Actually, it was the result of a leadership class that I took, and I actually took the class's advice by starting my own network and getting together a group of senior executives across the Time Warner family. And we called ourselves Girls Night Out, and we would get together on a quarterly basis, you know, have dinner, have fun, talk about life, talk about work, and just issues that were important to us. And everything that we discussed, you know, when we got together stayed within that group. So there was a great sense of safety and security and trust.
Well, what made you want to then take it further and put it into a group? Since part of the appeal of that group was that it was private.
One of the things that I discovered taking this leadership class was that leadership was not only something that people are born with, that leaders can also be made. And just the thought of all of us, all Black women who are in working situations, have an opportunity to tap into their leadership potential and develop and maximize their leadership potential. And so we all sat down and thought of a great way to do it, which is Little Black Book of Success.
Rhonda, there are lots of management books out there, mm-hmm. you know, self-help books. What do you think this book provides that the others don't?
When we started our project, what we found is that there are thousands of books about leadership, you're quite right, but very few by us, for us, about us. And one of the things we wanted to provide was a unique clarification of our history, our opportunities, and some practical suggestions for how to move forward, even beyond our own self-sabotaging tendencies, if I can say that. And all of us mentor, all of us have been working at least 30 years or more in many different genres. And one of the things we learned is that we keep seeing young women, fabulous, brilliant, beautiful young sisters, making avoidable mistakes, either because they don't seek out support, or they do but don't heed it. Or I had one lady say to me as she was about to, you know, go on probation and just about to lose her job. I had known her for several years. I said, well, honey, why didn't you come to me? She said, I didn't want to disappoint you. So that said to us, you know, we decided to write the book that we wish we had had when we were starting out in our careers.
Rhonda, give me an example of the kind of advice you think that African-American women specifically need to hear. And I'm particularly interested in what you called self-sabotaging behavior.
Yes. One of the things we know is that we may have a little bit of insecurity in there, particularly where we're their first and only, which we often still are. And
well, tell me a little bit more about the self-sabotaging business, but that you're telling me about. Like what?
Oh, like they don't speak up, or they speak up, but in a way that makes people then consider them to be the angry Black you-know-what, because by the time they do speak up, they're so upset because they haven't spoken up for so long, and their ideas have either been passed over or attributed to someone else, that they're angry rather than keeping what we call a personal leadership notebook where you track your own accomplishments. One of the things we notice and that we ourselves have certainly done is to clump together when we find that there are very few of us in an environment. Nothing wrong with getting together. We're not saying that you shouldn't. But what we are saying is that from time to time, you're going to have to step out of your comfort zone and go seek out resource people who may not look like you, sound like you, be your age, gender, religion, whatever. And we really try to prescribe some things you can do, questions to ask yourself, and steps you can take.
Elaine, you also say in the book, though, you're not crazy. So accept that you're not crazy.
Right.
Tell me a little bit more about that.
Well, you know, Michelle, to add what Rhonda said, one of the chapters that stands out in my mind is don't let your emotions get the best of you. And sometimes we as women and sometimes we as black women tend to be emotional in the workplace if things don't go in our favor, if things don't go our way. So one of the suggestions we mentioned in the book is the sort of the 24-hour rule is take a step back, you know, think about what was just said to you. Don't react emotionally because you don't want to. You don't want to give off the perception that you're the angry black woman, because that's one of the things we have to begin to separate ourselves from, because that stereotype does exist. And because it does exist, we have to be careful how we communicate and the body language that we use when we do talk to our boss and when we're just in the work environment in general.
Can I just push a little bit on that, Elaine? Because there are some who would say that that's a stereotype and that people have heard enough of this from the majority culture. Why are you, you know, perpetuating it by saying that black women are emotional or that women are emotional and so therefore they need to especially check themselves?
Absolutely, Michelle. There have actually been studies based on this, a Harvard study in particular, that indicates that managers, even though they consider themselves to be fair-minded managers, they do on a subconscious level associate things. This Harvard University study indicated that even if you were asked a manager whether or not he or she thought that they were prejudiced, they would say no. But on a subconscious level, these things do exist.
If you're just joining us, you're listening to Tell Me More from NPR News. We're talking about The Little Black Book of Success. Our guests are Rhonda Joy McLean and Elaine Merrill Brown. They're two of the three authors of The Little Black Book of Success. It's a leadership guide specifically geared to African-American women. Well, Rhonda, just to pick up on this idea, if I may, speak for a number of women, particularly black women, who feel that they're damned if they do, they're damned if they don't. Mm-hmm. If you're very driven, demanding of yourself and your colleagues, you know, believe in that old adage, you've got to work twice as hard to be half as good, that kind of thing, or to be considered half as good, then you're an angry black woman. Mm-hmm. If you try to build consensus, be the ultimate team player, follow the adage that there's no end to what you can accomplish if other people take the credit, if you don't care who gets the credit, then you're invisible. Your credit for work goes to someone else. And you're likely to be angry because you didn't get credit for your work. So how do you strike that balance?
You're absolutely right that you're damned if you do and you're damned if you don't. And we tried to address both damnations in the book. You actually do have to be able to stand on your own and take the fact that you may be called many things. But, you know, leaders need to be respected, not necessarily liked. So it's not that we're saying that black women need to check themselves in a way that makes them betray their own personalities. In fact, we are saying almost the opposite, that it is the unique you that you bring to the table that you need to value first and that you need to help other people understand is valuable in your workplace.
One of the things that intrigued me is that you talk about the fact that the values that you've been taught in church are not necessarily the ones that are most appreciated in business, and that sometimes sets up a challenge for people. They feel that the way they were raised and the way they were raised to conduct themselves is not necessarily valued, appreciated, or even productive in the business world. Could you talk a little bit more about that?
Yes, this is Rhonda. And the first thing I will say, as a woman who grew up in the Bible Belt in North Carolina in a very tiny town in a Baptist church, okay, is that you're certainly taught often to turn the other cheek, for example, to forgive and forget. And what we say is, in the business world, whether it's for profit or not for profit, you certainly may need to forgive, but you should never forget. Because if you do, often you may not have learned from the situation that you're in such that you can prepare yourself and, if need be, protect yourself moving forward. And Elaine, you want to chime in?
Well, one of the things we may do as a result of that is just sort of give up, just, you know, become frustrated, just not, you know, pursue our goals, when in all reality, we should really continue to be strategic and have goals. And Rhonda talked earlier about having a PLN, a personal leadership notebook. And in this notebook, the individual has an opportunity to track his or her accomplishments on a monthly basis, on a weekly basis. So when it does come time for that review or to ask for that promotion or raise, there's evidence of the individual's accomplishments.
Is there a one piece of advice in this book that each of you really wished that you had had when you were starting out in your career?
I would have to say,
Elaine, I'm going to start
book.
With you.
I would say the entire book, all 40 principles. Yeah. If there's one piece of advice in particular, I would say for me, perhaps networking, because when you begin networking, that's where you begin to find your mentors, and that's where you begin to establish your quote-unquote success team, which is what we talk about in the book. And, you know, I'm guilty of, as many of us are guilty of, is going to work, doing a great job, and going home, getting paid. Going to work, doing a great job, going home, getting paid. I mean, we're so tied in and do a great job with the daily responsibilities, and we're into our routines that we need to sort of step outside of the work that we do and learn as much as we can about our industry.
Let me ask you this, though, Elaine, on that point. Do you think that your failure to do that, or you're not being aware of the importance of that, was a Black thing, a woman thing, or a Black woman thing? Let me tell you why I'm asking.
Okay.
One of the reasons I'm curious about this is that I think that a lot of people of color in the workplace, and a lot of women, and particularly, I will say, people of color who are women, feel that they have responsibilities or are held to expectations in the community and in the family, which to which white men are not held.
Right.
But there are cultural expectations that are often placed on people of color. And so you say to yourself, okay, wait, am I going to go to this conference, or am I going to go and help my nephew write his college applications? That kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
So I want to ask you about that. What about that?
Well, you know, I do think you need to balance, Michelle, as in everything we do in life. You know, being strategic, I think, is the main point here. I think all I'm saying is to be competitive in the work environment, because a lot of us are first, second generation, you know, college graduates. And we didn't grow up necessarily with this kind of knowledge and information. In fact, I remember in the class that I took, there was a professor who said he had taken his son to a garden party, for example, and, you know, behind the hedges, he had actually heard the father pointing out to the child who the various individuals were and what companies they worked for. So-and-so is a manager for, you know, IBM, for example. We don't necessarily do that, so we don't really grow up in that kind of environment. And this is information that we need to learn. In fact, I was in a conversation with a young lady the other day who works in a high school, and she said this book would be fabulous even, you know, to help high school girls, you know, sort of prepare for the next level.
Okay. Rhonda, how about you? What's the one bit of advice you really wish you had had when you were starting out?
This is actually a mamaism from the book itself. You can do anything, but you can't do everything. And we speak very frankly about mental health, spiritual health, the fact that we are supporting you as you create your own unique career pathway, no matter where you find yourself. And I do just want to get to the office mammy, because we're always asked about this. We really are never saying, don't be true to yourself. We've all been reared to be these super nurturing women. And we know our history. We know that we often took care of other people's children, whether we wanted to or not. We're very good at this. However, we don't seem to be as good about taking care of ourselves. And what I've learned about leadership is that if you can't lead you, you can't lead anybody else. So you better take care of yourself and not be seen as the person who's going to pour the coffee, go outside, get the donuts, put up the charts. There's nothing wrong with that. But I have found that you're often not tapped to get promoted into the next slot if you're seen as the server and not the leader.
Uh-oh, I'm thinking about all the donuts I've brought in here.
And okay, you know what I'm saying. You know what I'm saying here.
Donuts are good. Bagels are good. Donuts are good.
I'm kind of in charge of, what am I in charge of? Cupcakes. I'm kind of a cupcakes person. Okay, well,
nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with that.
All right. Well, Elaine Merrill Brown and Rhonda Joy McLean are two of the authors of The Little Black Book of Success, Laws of Leadership for Black Women. And they were both kind enough to join us from NPR's New York Bureau. Ladies, I thank you so much for joining us, and continued success to you.
Thanks,
thank
Michelle.
You.
Thanks for having us.